get your Bibles and get your ears open and expect God to tell you something this morning. We say to you, Lord, this is your word. These are your people. This is your time. Do with us as you will. Thank you. I'm going to pick up where I kind of left off and go a little bit in a different direction. So I'm going to do two things this morning if you're looking for what I'm up to. We're going to start with Isaiah verse 9, 6, and 7. Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. I'll say that correctly. Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, and Counselor, and Mighty God, and Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, for those of you that were here last Sunday, I just felt like that was a magnificently anointed, directed word of God that we had. And that's been, not only has it changed the way I prayed that last sentence, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, I've ended my prayers by saying that. Now that I've done what he's asked me to do, I'm expecting with excitement to see the zeal of the Lord of hosts perform what I just prayed. I'm excited to see it. The government is on his shoulders. Now, we're going to go probably in a lot of different directions before we get through with this, I hope, because I want to understand this and do it when I'm through. But all government was stolen in Genesis by Satan. All government was taken back and put on Jesus right here in Isaiah, before the foundations of the earth, but it's spoken to us in Isaiah. Do you believe that the government was taken and given back to Jesus Christ? No? I'll have to send my wife home and get that other message. We'll preach it again. It was. Or we'll just play the tape. We were sitting Wednesday night down here, and we'd been here for since we turned the PA system on. We've been at least, we got here at 6:30. 7:30, it was probably 8 o'clock, so at least an hour and a half, the sound system had been on, nobody had been up there. And about 8 o'clock, that tape started playing. I have no idea how or why, or everybody just kind of looked around, and we had to literally go upstairs and cut it off. I guess the Lord wants to remind us over and over of His Word, amen? Now, last week we established that the entire government of the universe, or at least this, what we know of the universe, is on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. It's the only government. It's the only true government. It's the only government that's going to move for us with justice and righteousness and judgment. It's the one we have total access to. We can go in and present the word, the points of law, and we win because we're speaking to a very prejudiced judge. He's on our side. Amen? Okay. In case I don't explain this, and I mention it again, points of law. You can win a case in front of a jury by points of law. The judge will absolutely direct the verdict because you've presented such sound law that he won't even turn it over to the jury. He directs a verdict. That's what happens when you win a case by points of law. If your case is presented correctly, and you have such good, sound law behind it, the judge will direct a verdict. He won't even turn it to the jury. You don't have a choice in the matter. The law is so true, the law is so real, you don't have a choice. That's where we are when we walk into the court of God. We don't sit in front of a jury. He makes the judgment call according to how we present points of law. That's why we have to know the word, because that's the points of law. Okay, let's begin. We are called to a high, pure form of government. That's the church. Much higher than the White House or the Congress or the Supreme Court. We've been drawn to this place, actually subpoenaed by the Holy Spirit, by the ruler or governor of the universe, for the purpose of presenting our case and presenting our needs. Jesus, the Supreme High Court, and the Supreme High Ruler of that court, wants to know, now listen to me, wants to know why we have not been doing our best. Why we have not been operating at 100% level in the kingdom. Why our witnessing has not been at a peak. He doesn't want to hear excuses. He doesn't want to... How many of you have ever seen anybody go into a court and when they're trying to present their case, they give really screwy reasons? I shot him because I was mad. And the judge says, so? I hit her because she was talking back to me. Oh, that's a good point of law, isn't it? I'm sure that's going to drastically affect the judge. It will. You're not going to like the outcome. He doesn't want to hear excuses. He wants to know the real reasons, the facts, and only the facts. How many of you want to win when we go into court? To win, we must recognize that there is a foe and there is an accuser. We also must know that this judge, Jesus Christ, has no harm. He owns no harm for us. He wants no harm for us. Ever. How many of you trust that in a man's court? If you go in that the judge is going to be so righteous and so pure, he's just for you. Not going to happen. In Jesus' court it is. When we walk into his presence, he's for us. Guess who he's against? The accuser. Our foe. No matter what form he's in, people, place, or thing, he's against it. If there's a problem, it came from the accuser. We must also present points of law or the word that show the court why the enemy must cease. Did you hear what I said? Our job when we go in the presence of God is to present a case by the word why the enemy should cease and desist his action. Now, do you know the word enough to do that? You got to. That's why you study. We also must present a case why he should cease and the blessing should flow. You can't just stop the enemy. You've got to replace the enemy with blessings, right? If you were in a lawsuit and you had an enemy and the enemy you were filing, you wanted $10,000 from this enemy over here, it wouldn't be enough for the judge to say, all right, enemy, you're guilty. You would want the settlement, right? Okay. Now, here's the cool part of this. This sounds like we nearly have to be lawyers to happen, for this to happen, but that's not the case. The governor of the universe has given us the word freely. See, if you want to go operate in a court of law, you have to either go to law school, which costs you tens and tens of thousands of dollars, or you have to go to the free law library and spend all of your time reading things until you stumble across something. God gives us the Word freely. He gives us the Holy Spirit to draw us to the Word and then gives us the understanding of the Word. All we have to do is just open His Word and study. Did you ever hear the Scripture study to show yourself approved? Approved where, Mark? Where do I need to be approved in? Right there in front of Jesus Christ presenting my case. Study so that I can show myself approved. Thank God there's no jury, just Jesus. Here's what we have to do. We have to study. We have to present ourselves to Him. Here's the hardest part of all. I don't want to go across that too fast. The hardest part for us to do is to say to Jesus Christ, whatever you say. To throw myself on the mercy of His court. You might as well be honest with yourself. It's the hardest thing in the world to do. You will try to run before the court. You will try to make things happen. You will try to decide, make decisions that you don't have the ability to make instead of going and saying, God, here I am. Jesus, here I am. Whatever you say goes. Isn't that what you do in a court? We show up. We present our case with the word and the law that He's provided. And then we stand in faith. That's it. You know what we're going to get? We're going to get a righteous verdict. It's always going to be for us. Now, I just, by that scripture, told you that there's only one ruler of the universe. The government's entirely on his shoulders. Well, who's this clown called Satan? Who is he? Come on, this is not complicated. This is simple as a little child. I'm backing you into the corner. Is there only one ruler with authority in the universe? And is all government and decisions, justice, righteousness, all of that, has that been placed on him? Then who is this clown Satan? Loser? False? What? Imposter? Accuser? That's who he is. But how does he work, man? See, it's not good enough to understand his name. You need to know how he works. Same thing with Jesus. It's not good enough to know his name. You need to know how he works, what he thinks. You'll find that in his word. That's the way Satan works, lies and deception. Now, he gets us one of the most favorite lie and deception or deceiving that he has for us is that he works through our flesh and the situations that affect our flesh. That's why I'm greatly touched with that song this morning, "My Soul Knows Very Well." What does it know? It knows what I've told it. That's what it knows. If I've told it the word, it knows that. If I've told it everything else, it knows that. It operates accordingly. Now look, here's what's holding us back from being at peak efficiency, winning our cases, witnessing, praying for people and have those prayers answered. Here's what's holding us back. Listen to some of these things and you're going to get a picture. No time. I don't have time for that. Bad health. If you don't understand, I don't feel like it. I'm way too busy. I don't have any money. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough responsibility. You don't give me enough responsibility. I have too much responsibility. Man, the problems are eating my lunch. I got bad hands. I got bad feet. I got bad kids. I got a bad spouse. I don't have any spouse. You see, I can't work. My eyes are not good. My ears are not good. I don't have a car. I got a bad car. A car costs too much. I need a home. My home is, the taxes are too high. I just can't remember anything. When I go to witness, I can't remember one scripture at all. You get an idea of what I'm saying here? This is the accuser, the deceiver that's talking to us. I never have any fun. I just never have any fun. I just got to get away and have some fun. My parents raised me terribly. That's the way I am, the way I am. It's all this history I have. I just can't do the work of the Lord. You know, when I speak, no one listens. That's a favorite one of the young people. They think they thought that up this generation, but I thought it up, and I know some before me did too. Nobody ever listens to me. You know, I just don't have any skill. I just don't have the skill. You read that in the Bible. Paul said that. I tell you what, I'm overskilled. I just can't hardly stand talking to those ignorant people. My prayers are never answered. What's the use to pray? Do you know how strong the devil is? Do you know how weak my God is? That's where we're all bringing this to. Let me tell you what's happened. We've called Jesus the supreme authority in our lives. We call the Word the supreme and the very last word. But then we speak all of these other words instead. Isn't that what we just described, Jesus and the devil? The true and the false? What I'm telling you, everything that I just went across there and a whole lot more that you can think of, that's false statements. It's lie, and it's a lying against the truth. It's a lie against the truth. Let me tell you more straight. It's a false authority in our life. Jesus, when we make these statements, excuses why we cannot do whatever it is God wants us to do, we are putting false authority in place of Jesus Christ, in place of God. We have listened to and been obedient or submitted to false rulers in our life. What's a false ruler? I am not good enough, and whatever excuse ties to that. I can't, and whatever excuse is tied to that. Are you hearing me? If you just think for a second of all the excuses that we've made in our lives are that have been suggested to us, let's just be real. They've been suggested to us, and we've adopted some of them. Even how many times I've failed. I'm never going to do that again because of how many times I've failed. I won't even try it anymore. wonder how that's going to stand in the court of God. If God's saying, do it, and you're saying, I have another ruler, it's called failure. In any form, I can't is another ruler. In Hosea, let's get down to why these things, why we have false rulers in our lives. Why there are false authorities that literally take the place of Jesus Christ in our lives. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, that's been quoted to you over and over. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know why you study the Word? For knowledge. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. You study the Word for knowledge. Why do you go into the presence of God? For knowledge. Why'd you come this morning? I hope it's for knowledge, not to appease your conscience. I studied for knowledge. I didn't study to give this to you. I want to know what this is about. I want to know how it works. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Listen to this. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being a priest for me. Well, I just can't seem to do what God's asked me to do. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. That kind of gives me goosebumps. More than that, it gives me a swift kick in the you-know-where to get me going back for knowledge. That's what Scripture is supposed to do, not scare us, but push us. Not knowing the Word and not knowing your rights in and with the Word is destruction. That's what that Scripture says. If you don't know the Word, you're destined for destruction. If the Word doesn't reveal to you by the Holy Spirit who you are in Christ Jesus and what rights you have in the Word, you're headed for destruction. Not knowing that the Word, Jesus, is the remedy for all excuses and problems is destruction. Well, you don't understand. You don't understand. I stutter. I can't speak. I am so deathly afraid. When I try to deliver somebody the Word, my mouth gets like cotton. My tongue sticks to the top roof of my mouth. What's the problem? You still haven't given me one thing that's a problem here. Because I thought the answer was Jesus. Now you're telling me the answer is your problem. Now it's your problem. You know what my problem is? Jesus. That may sound strange to you, but I only got one problem. That's Jesus. That's the whole problem I got. Everything else is a distraction. And the strange part about that is when I go into His presence, He's no longer a problem. So what was the problem? I forgot what it was. You know what? I think I'm coming down with a real case of Jesus. You know what? I think I might be having a Jesus attack. You know what? I try my best to do this, and without Jesus, I can't do it. But with Him, all things are possible. So you've got to decide which way you're going to start thinking. Man, way back there, long time ago. You know, this x-ray showed that I had a broken Jesus, but I got over it. I found Him again. You may think that sounds silly, but in reality, in the spirit realm, what sounds silly are the excuses that we use. Those stupid, lame-brain excuses that we use for not getting into the Word, for not praying, for not believing, for everything that comes against the Word of God. That's the stupid things. That shows our lack of knowledge. Listen. God created us to perform. Did you ever think about that? When I go down and when I bought that truck out there, you know what I bought it for? To perform. Nothing makes me madder than getting in a vehicle that don't perform. It won't be in my stall very long. I got better things to do than try to ride a mule that don't go. Now, what did Jesus pay for? Are you His temple? He likes it to perform. You weren't saved to the lazy boy. You were saved to perform. You were saved to perform at peak performance. Listen to this. Anything that slows you down, Anything that slows you down is Satan. Can we get real simple like children here for a minute? Anything that slows you down is from the accuser. It seems like we want three or four different categories of why we do things. And there's only two. There's the true authority and there's a false authority. And when the true authority is in our lives, we can do anything. When the accuser's got his foot in the door, we can do some things. What's the remedy? Word, faith. We must go to the governor. We win with his law. Remember, I touched on this last week. Jesus, does not work alone. Nothing should make us feel better about ourselves than that fact. Jesus is not working alone. Let me tell you where he's not working alone at. If you think that walking into the presence of God through praise and worship is doing something, you're wrong. Because you hadn't accomplished you haven't satisfied the requirements of the law yet. What's the requirements of the law? Present me your case. Present me law with that case. Now you got into my presence. You walked in and you said, "You are the most high God. You are the most honorable judge. I trust your judgments in all things. I trust you, Lord. Anything you say, I'll do." This is praise. By the way, the judge likes that. But you haven't won your case yet. This is becoming more and more clear to me. If you heard that in my prayers on Sunday morning, God, soften our hearts so that we can hear your word. What's your word? Your judgments. I want to hear God's judgments. I don't want to hear the echo of my praise and worship. I don't want to hear, you know what echo of my praise and worship is? Listen, when this mealy-mouthed wussy stands up in the pulpit and gives you a word that just makes you feel good, that's nothing but an echo of your praise and worship. You want God to say to you what you just said to Him. But you walk into a court of Jesus Christ and you tell Him what a high, precious, pure, righteous judge He is. You know what He does? He tells you the truth. Tells you the truth. It's still good for us. It's perfect for us. But it's the truth. He does not work alone. That's number one. Number two, we will not win alone. He does not work alone, and we will not win alone. He wants to know us. We have to know Him. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Here's the case. Listen to me. There has to be more than just you knowing the Word. You have to know Jesus, the Word. There has to be more than you walking in and say, "I'm a Christian, Jesus, here I am." And expound upon our praises and worship, and even if we can sing them, and it doesn't make any difference what it sounds like. Jesus knows the heart. It has to be more than that. We have to be intimate with Him. We have to receive His judgment. Listen, many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Man, we've won thousands to your name. We spend all our time on our internet telling people about Jesus Christ. When I'm doing my work, I tell them, and I've done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me," listen to this, "depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." I've never studied this like this. This has jumped out at me this week. I've always known that there's going to be some people that show up and in their charismatic clothes, wearing their charismatic jewelry. They got their charismatic bumper stickers, and they're doing their charismatic dance. And Jesus is going to say, "Depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew until this week what that meant." Those that practice lawlessness. Are you hearing me? Practiced law. Harry, what law? The law of God. You're holding it right there. The word from the Holy Spirit. They have to practice those things. And it don't make any difference how many times they get saved, how many times they take communion, how many times they get baptized. They have to practice law. Where do we practice law, Harry? Where's the most effective place to practice law? in the court of God in prayer. That's exactly where we got to practice it. You know how our lives get changed? In the court of law, in Jesus' court of law. How does it change? We present the law. We assimilate the law. We consume the law. Then the righteous judgment comes down. Those that diligently listen and obey, the blessings overtake them. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Is lying going against the law? Is cheating? Is stealing? Is hating your neighbor? I'll tell you what, children. We got to become as a little child, right? I tell you what, children. We need to start being different fruit inspectors than we've ever been in the past. This is a time of God where He's clamping down on the very basics in His law. He's basically saying this, I'm getting tired of you bunch of hypocrites. Jesus told them that way back there. Now we're going through it again. I want to see you practice my law. Don't talk about it. Practice it. How do I practice my law? I've got to know it, number one. Number two, I've got to say it. I've got to say it. I'm coming down with a real bad case of Jesus, Harry. No more sore throat, no more flu, no more of that stuff. I'm coming down with a real bad case of Jesus. That's the word. That's the law. I wish you'd correct me if you hear me talking anything but that. Remind me that I got a real bad case of Jesus. You'll have people talking about you if you start saying that. Here's the law. Here's the word. You must come to Him with the word. You must come to the word with the word. Why? To wait so that you'll know His judgments, His justice. You know what that tells me? You get to know the way He thinks. You know the safest person in the world to be around is one that you know how they think? You don't get any surprises that way. You never get any surprises that way. My wife never surprises me. I know how she thinks. I don't only know what she thinks, I know how she thinks. Sometimes she still perplexes me, but... She did this morning there at Kinko's. I couldn't figure out what she was up to. But I spent a lot of time trying to figure it out. Should I at least spend that much time trying to figure out how Jesus thinks? How He looks at people? Matthew 11. Listen. Am I trying to say to you that you don't have any problems? I hope you didn't hear that because that's silly. You have some problems. I said just don't use them as excuses. That's all I said. Matthew 11:28. Come to me. Come to my court. Come to my presence with thanksgiving and with the word and with the law. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now listen. This is a guarantee of what happens when we walk into Jesus' court of law. That's a guarantee. I will give you rest. No more fear. That scripture chases all fear away of presenting my case before Jesus Christ. The worst thing that can happen is I will get rest. Now, I may not get it the second I think I want it, but I'll get it. I guarantee you I will. Now, we've talked about false authorities. False authority is anything that takes precedence over God's authority. You got that? Jesus says, you can do all things through me. You say, I'm having trouble doing these things. Then what did you really say? You really say, I'm not in you. I need to get a little bit more in you. You see, I'm telling you, my ministry could be so large if it wasn't for Connie. Now, does that sound like a real good excuse? It sounds dumb. Because it is dumb. It is dumb. Whatever problem I have, it's because I haven't yet cast it upon Jesus. Are you listening to me? Whatever problem I have, it's because I haven't taken it into His court of law yet and given it to Him. That's the only reason I still have a problem. Now let's go a little further. Let us consider false authorities. Who has authority? Who has none? Romans 13. I don't know how long we're going to be here. I don't know how far we'll get today. Probably not far enough to stop. So we'll have to take it up next week. Any of you that have been around church very long, especially if you've been around some Baptist churches or some places like that, if you don't do what they tell you to do, they Romans 13 you. Y'all ever been to Romans 13? Well, I'm going to read you Romans 13. If you haven't been Romans 13, praise God. Praise God. Romans 13 just says this, that anytime you resist any authority that I think is an authority, God's going to get you. That's what that means. Anytime you resist authority that I think is an authority, God's going to get you. If you determine that there's a law, let me try to say this. Oh, I'll get one that'll knock you down. I'll just say it plain as day. You guys have met Paul Lavoie. We used to play some games together with the law, but I'll just use him so I'll stay out of it and y'all don't look at me funny. He got pulled over one time. You've heard this before, but I'm going to use it as a case so that you'll understand. He got pulled over one time. He doesn't believe in having a driver's license, social security number. He doesn't believe in license plates. He doesn't believe in insurance on your car. He doesn't believe in any of that. And y'all look and say, he's crazy, but he walks into court and wins on points of law. Now, with what I said before, what does that mean to you? He presents points of law and wins. What does that mean? Do what? What does he know? The law is what, though? He knows the law. He's presented the law. And in physical law, he proves it so well that you don't have to have a driver's license. You don't have to have a social security number. You don't have to have a license plate. You have insurance on your car. He proves it, and the judge has to direct the verdict. So you know what that really basically means? He's the only one operating the law. We're operating against the law. Now, I told you, I'd think of the one that y'all would think was the craziest one of all. There's a lot of others. But I just thought I'd throw that out there, so I want to upset your apple cart a little bit. I don't want you to think that you know everything that there is to know, because you don't. You don't know until you study. And sometimes studying gets you in trouble with the existing authorities. Who's the existing authorities? The ones that think they are and they aren't. Are you hearing me? The ones that think they are. I didn't say they were lying to you. I said they think they are and they aren't. Now let me go back. Romans 13, you means that when you go against what somebody thinks is an authority, they come against you. That's Romans 13. Now listen. Romans 13. I'm going to read the whole thing and then I'm going to go back. Let every soul be in subjection to the higher powers. For there is no power but God, and the powers that are the powers that be are ordained of God. Therefore he that resisteth the power resisteth or withstandeth the ordinance of God, and they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. For rulers are not a terror to the good work. But by the way, they don't usually go further than that. They stop there. That means if Paul went into a court of law and resisted with law, they would Romans 13 him because they didn't believe like he believed. And they weren't interested in listening to the law. They're comfortable where they at. For rulers are not a terror to the good work, but to the evil. And wouldest thou have no fear of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise from the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, an avenger for wrath to him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be in subjection, not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause ye pay tribute also, for they are ministers of God's service, attending continually upon this very thing. Render all to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything save to love one another. Now that's what happens when you Romans 13. You've just been declared a sinner because you resisted authority. Now let me go back one time. Who is the authority on this earth? Now, I'm not talking about, as we see it, as it operates on this earth, there are two authorities. Who are they? God and Satan. Now, I didn't say who was the most powerful. I didn't say who we believed in. I said as things operate on this earth, there are two authorities on this earth. There are two positions of authority on this earth. They are God and Satan. Once you know God, once you become one of God's children, one is supposed to disappear. He's supposed to disappear from your life as a position of authority. To try to get Christians to believe that is very, very difficult. because they would rather believe in a weak God and a strong Satan. That way it's easy to make mistakes. It's easy to fail. It's easy to run excuses. When you believe that God is the only authority and only the Word of God is the presentation in the court of God, it makes it very difficult for you to present excuses. Right? But you know why I lied, Harry? Do you know why I lied? Because, you see, it was best for the situation. It just had to be. My business would have failed if I'd have told him the truth. I have just called Jesus Christ a liar about 3 times. I said it was best to lie. I said it was the only way. And then I said I'd have failed if I didn't. That's 3 times a liar. I've called Jesus a liar. I've lied against the truth. That's not what the Word of God says. What it says is liars will have their place in the lake of fire. That's what it says. Now, which do I believe? Which is safer to believe, by the way? Just in case I'm a little off, which is safer to believe? This is what I'm having a hard time getting this across. That kind of theory is an authority in our life, and it takes the place of Jesus Christ. The end justifies the means is a lie from hell. It's all right for me to sin as long as I'm good most of the time is a lie from hell. It's not even a safe position. Bad insurance, if nothing else. Now listen, I'm going to go back. Romans 13:1. I'm going to take this slowly. Sometime in this, I'm going to quit and catch it up next week. Romans 13:1. This is positions of authority. Now listen, I'm beginning to move in another direction here. We've already established Jesus Christ as being the supreme authority. But very soon, I'm going to introduce to you the true government of God on this earth. Men in positions of government that operate under Jesus Christ, and we must submit to those people. So just, I'm not pulling any surprises with you. We're going in a direction. We're going to go slowly. Because I don't particularly like authority in my life. Don't particularly like that. So I'm going to take it slow because of me, not you. Romans 13:1. Let every soul be in subjection to the higher powers. Who is the highest power of all? It doesn't say let only Christians. It says let every soul be in subjection to the higher powers. That is a tremendous word for you and I. Because that means that nobody, not even the Antichrist people, have more power than the one I'm subjected to or submitted to. Okay? I submit myself to the Word. There is no other. All souls have to be subjected to that Word. Get that down. That makes me want to run. All souls have to be subjected to the Word. Not just Christians. All souls. For there is no power but of God. Where does that put Satan? Under one of those no power categories. There is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained by God. Let me say that another way so we can get it. I hope we say this correctly. There is no power unless it's ordained of God. So when the President of the United States tries to tell me that it's all right to fool around with people that are in submission to you, but it's not adultery, I don't submit to that. And I don't receive that. And guess who else doesn't? Jesus doesn't. And He has all power, and He will take care of it. You can look forward to that. There is no authority unless it's under subjection and obedience to the power of God or to the authority of God. And by the way, submission, subjections means ordination. How do you like that one? There is no power. The powers that are ordained by God. You want power? You want ordination? Submit. You want to stay out of order, of anointing and power? Don't submit. Verse 2. Therefore, he that resisteth the power... Now, here's where you get tangled up. Here's where the church tries to teach you that you've got to submit to false authority. They think that an elected official is an authority of God. And it says... It doesn't say that. It says, all power is from God... And the powers that be are ordained of God. That means they're still under His control. Does He have the control of kings? Yes, He does. Does He have the control of kings? Yes, He does. They're not out of His control, especially when it comes to His children. What am I trying to say? I mean there is no authority out there, elected or anything else, that's above the power of God in my life. Okay? Therefore, he that resisteth the power of God withstandeth the ordinance of God, or stands against the ordination of God. And they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. And they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. Let me ask you something. I'll just start right here. Do you believe that I'm called of God? Do you believe that I'm called to minister to you at this time and season? You withstand my ministry, you receive judgment to yourself. Unless you can prove that I'm not called of God. Unless you believe that the word that I bring to you is not an anointing of God. Now please, I'm saying this not to look at you guys. You're here. I'm talking about people that have withstood the ordination of God. The people that have been here and spit. They've brought judgment to themselves. Is that a maybe, if, maybe, huh? Hmm? No, that's the word of God. He doesn't change his mind. There is no authority unless it's under subjection and obedience to the power of God or the authority of God. If anyone says that there's any other power than God, he does not totally submit to that power. He is a false authority, and he will be judged, him and those that submit to him. Now here's our chore right here, that last little part of that sentence. I have to be careful who I submit to, because I become one with who I submit to. Where did that start? It started right here. That started right here with marriage. She becomes one with who she submits to. It talks about me being the bride of Jesus Christ. I become one with who I submit to. See my point? What if I submit to all these nonsensical statements like, see, it's my wife's fault that the things are not going with me as well as they should. I just become one with a lie. Just because I don't see total success this moment does not mean I don't walk in total success. I guarantee you I do. By the word of God, I am successful. And I'll not receive any other report. I will be like Jesus. If you tell me I'm a failure, I'm going to say, get my... I'll not be part of that. You'll not put it on me. It'll not happen. Okay? Now listen. How do we know who is the ordained authority of God? We know Jesus. Was he an ordained authority of God? Then all we got to do is read about him. And we see how he conducted himself, and how he walked, and how he talked, and how he acted, and how he got angry, and how he got compassionate. When and where and how many times. You know what that is? That's Jesus. How did he run the people out of the temple? Huh? With a whip. Not Jesus. That wouldn't be Christian. See how we get stupid? The very person that we call ourselves namesake after, Christian, Christ-like, we say he couldn't have been that way. And yet he did. So we challenge his authority. Literally, we challenge his authority. He did what he did. Jesus did what... Did you know that Jesus did what he did without asking us? He never once said, I'm going to call all my people together and have them vote and see if this is okay. How do we know? Listen, for rulers, I want everybody in this place to listen to this verse. I want you to listen about your children. I want you to listen about your grandchildren, your friends, and those that you've always thought good of. Listen to this. For rulers are not a terror to good work, but to evil. Bill Clinton, have you ever seen him been a terror to evil? I know he's been a terror. I know he's been evil, but I don't ever think that he's been a terror to evil. Once again, listen to me. For rulers are not a terror to good work, but to evil. You know what I just described, Harry? What has to be in your life if you're going to be a Christian? You have to be a terror to evil. And if you ever want to rule, if you ever want to be a priest to God in the kingdom of God, you have to be a terror to evil. Jesus walking down the road, minding his own business, talking to his buds, and the demon said, please don't hurt us, because they knew him to be a terror to evil. By the way, I didn't write this. This is Romans. Some of y'all quote Romans better than you do Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so please, this is Romans. They're terror to evil. And wouldest thou have no fear of the power Are you so goofy that you're not afraid of that power? This is my scripture. This is written to me. This is red letters to me, okay? Y'all just listening to what God's explaining to me. I'm not after y'all. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise from the same. Guys, let's drop the grace and mercy crud for a little while. Let's listen to the scripture. The scripture says, if you got friends that are evil, they're supposed to know that you think they're evil. And if they do good, they're supposed to know you think they're good. And you're not supposed to be lukewarm, and they're not supposed to have to guess. Rulers that are placed by God are a terror to evil and to those that do evil. Rulers placed by God praise God and cause good. Praise good and cause good. If they are not a terror to and stand against evil, if they do not cause fear in those that do evil, they are not God's authority. I'm trying to approach this from every direction I can. If they do not cause fear in those that do evil, they are not God's authority. Now listen, I didn't say anything about Christianity. I didn't say a denomination. I said God's rulers are supposed to cause fear in those that do evil. That's even Christians, by the way. Y'all never been in conviction of the Holy Spirit as a Christian? I guarantee you I have on a pretty regular basis. Got to tell you that. What's the use to listen to preaching if you don't get a little conviction? Man, if you just want to hear good stuff, buy a Zig Ziglar tape. Buy an Amway tape. Buy all those. I got a cousin. I'll bring him in. He can just pour this junk all over you. How good you feel. They pay him a lot of money to do that. Motivational speaker. Man, there ain't no more motivation than the Word of God. It's a two-edged sword. You'll either be swinging it or you'll get swung at. That's the Word of God. And probably a little of both at the same time. That's the way I get it anyway. Four. For he's a minister of God to thee for good. How do I know about, just a quick judgment, how do I know whether there's a ruler? Because he's after your good. He wants good things for you. He don't much care how he gets it to you, but he wants you to be good. Jesus threatened. He said, liars and hypocrites. You know who he called a liar and a hypocrite? The church. Why? He wanted good for them. He didn't want them to continue in the way they were going because they're going to hell. If not, they're going to drag a lot of other people with them. Whatever. He wants good. For he is a minister of good of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, listen to this. If you do what's wrong, be afraid. You know why this place doesn't have 1,000 people in it this morning? Because I don't give them Zig Ziglar. All I got to tell them, all you got to do is come to church, pay your tithes, going straight to heaven. I promise you. It's all you got to do. And you don't even have to come all the time. Just send your tithe. But if thou do which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. You don't just carry it around dragging the ground clanging just to impress you. For he is a minister of God, an avenger for wrath to him that doeth evil. This is New Testament. This is Romans. How do you know a ruler or authority of God, an appointed authority of God? How do you know? You know what happens when you do wrong? He loves you enough to tell you. Is that what that says? Do you know the Holy Spirit loves you? Do you know that he actively tells me when I'm wrong? If he don't do it directly, he'll do it through the Word. If it don't come through that, he'll come through a brother. But I want it. I want it. God's rulers, God's authority, teach good according to the Word, not popularity. A minister of God has the power and want to correct you when you are doing wrong. I want to be corrected when I'm doing wrong. And you are not in subjection to the Word or God until you want to be corrected when you're doing wrong. See, I never said I liked it. I said I want it. There's a big difference. I don't like being corrected by anybody, anytime, anywhere, in any condition. But I so much appreciate the fact
if the Holy Spirit does what I want, which is I want to be corrected.
Evil and its servants flee from a true minister of God. Now listen to me. I'm going to tell you one more time. I don't know how you're going to put this into your little 6 7/8 formula about how churches are to be built, how you are going to build the kingdom of God, but evil and its servants flee from a true minister of God. Or they're drawn to the truth, not to the minister of God. Listen to that part. Because many times a word comes forth to a person and they're not saved under that minister's word. They're saved further on down the line. You got it? Every time you witness to somebody, doesn't mean they're going to give their heart to God at that moment. Please, don't get discouraged. You're not in charge of winning the whole world. You're just in charge of testifying, witnessing. In fact, that witness, according to what I'm studying here, may cause them to run the first time. In fact, it's just about guaranteed. They're going to cut and run the first time. Very few people are saved the first time they ever hear the word. Because it's evil they're living in. Truth is presented. I'm out of here. But they can't run away from the truth. They just ran away from the person that's giving the truth. Amen? Now, this has gone far enough. I didn't think it'd take that long, but I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to start again in Romans probably next Sunday, unless God says different. Then we're going to go, I already got a whole other chapter there. We're dealing with God's calling. Do you believe you're called to the court of Jesus Christ? Do you believe you're called to the authority of Jesus Christ and His government? Then we need to study His government because we're called to that government. I believe, now I got the real exciting part last week. Really, I had a blast talking about last week. I had the most fun in the world. That's the best time, and it's helped me. So if you don't like today, get last week and start there. Do that when Patrick gets back. And don't forget last week as we go through the next few weeks. Don't forget it. Just don't forget it. The promises and the blessings of God come from obeying the promises of the Word of God. Not any other way. Amen? Okay, y'all stand with me. Now I know, and I didn't say I enjoy. I know, well let me say it another way. I have been fighting quite a battle for a number of months. And the battle that I've been fighting is against the gospel that I was taught. Because in my eyes, the gospel that I was taught is not working. It's a failure. The evidence is this, that these people that used to be on fire are no longer on fire. Now, if it was a normal marriage and it started heading for divorce, we would be very concerned. And yet in the Christian community, we see people that are growing cold and falling away and we don't seem to be worried. And it bothers me. Our gospel is not working. What is left? If you interpret the good news as only the good things that Jesus has to say, and that doesn't work, then what's left? The rest that He had to say. That's what's left. So let's look at the rest that He had to say. Is it glorious to get saved? Yes, it is. You ought to tell everybody, it's the best thing in the world could ever happen to them. Get saved. Best thing in the world, but don't stop there or you'll die. What happens after that? Because now you got them on cloud nine. They got all their burdens lifted and they're excited about Jesus. Tell them the rest. Tell them they got a study to show themselves approved. And that don't mean study the television evangelist. That doesn't mean studying somebody that knows more about makeup than the Word. It doesn't mean anything about driving fancy cars more than the Word. It doesn't mean, it means get into the Word for yourself and watch the Holy Spirit reveal to you His requirements for you. And I promise you, there's nobody in the world that's ever been saved to be left alone. Jesus saves people to use them. Now, we get used one or two ways. We get used either as a bad example or a good example. Hope this isn't too simple. We're either a bad example or a good example.
Don't get confused of what's a good example. How much money you make is not a good example. What kind of car you drive is not a good example. That's not what Jesus is looking for. He's looking for those that are not lawless. That's what that scripture says. Those that obey the law, do the law. I hope you listen to me. I can't tell you how many years it's taken me to pick up on this and how many times I've been in trouble because I wasn't paying attention. How many times I had to go into man's court to find out what God's court really means. How lousy a bad lawyer can be and how even more lousy a good lawyer can be and how you're much better off by yourself operating pro se, knowing the law yourself. Because then you just give your rights to one, that's the judge. You don't give it to the attorney. There's so much practicality in this, it's unbelieving to me. It's opened up huge things. But it took me a lot of years to figure them out. Please don't let it do that to you. Take what I'm saying, pray about it, take it in, present it to God, let Him purify it, let Him bring it back to you so that it can empower you. Don't just listen to my words exactly. Take it to God and let Him take it back to you purified and filtered. It may be stronger, I warn you, it may be stronger than what I said.